Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Raise your hand if you can't hear me in the back. That always gets the kids. Brother Vic shook my hand earlier and he said, "Not too bad, your hands aren't too sweaty." Well, they are now, Brother Vic. I'm a little nervous. I'm always nervous, you guys know that. But Philippians chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse 6. Just read a few verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." If you'll notice in verse 7, the first phrase, the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." And then in verse 9, the last phrase, "And the God of peace shall be with you." We've got the peace of God and the God of peace. And tonight I'd like to preach on the subject, the peace that passes all understanding. The peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Lord, give me clarity of thought. And Lord, I pray that you'll guide my thoughts. And Lord, guide my words. And Lord, I pray that everything that's said tonight will be pleasing in thy sight. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me not to say anything that doesn't need to be said. And Lord, help me to say everything that does need to be said. And God, I pray that we'll leave this place knowing that we've been with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a song that's sung. It was actually sung at the reception of my sister-in-law's wedding. And the writer says, "Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy." Every night we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. And then he says, "Woo, woo, 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 woo," and he goes on and sings it. And I'm not going to finish it. Get the tape. It's a good song. Don't worry, be happy. That's good. And there's too much worry in the world. And I'm the first one to admit I worry. I come from a long line of worriers. Amen, Dad. We worry. We worry about everything. We worry about gas prices. We worry about tire pressure. Anything you can think of. My tires are a little low. That's why I said that. We worry about everything. And, you know, there's time to worry. The stock market's down and the price of oil's up and you got two people to vote into the White House and neither one really looks all that great. And, you know, yeah, amen. And we're in a war in Iraq. And, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on, but I won't. Because I don't want you to worry. I want you to be happy. I want you to have peace that passes all understanding. And we need the peace of God. Now, we have peace with God when we get saved. Romans 5:1, I meant to turn there. There we go. Romans 5:1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm glad that I have peace with God. When I trusted God as my Savior, I was justified. He looked at me just as if I had never sinned, but even better than that, just as if I had never been a sinner, because he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus' righteousness is imputed to my account, and I'm justified, and I have peace with God. An old black preacher said, "That means me and God are all right." And, you know, when I tried to borrow money one time from a bank, and they said, "Your signature's not good enough." This was a little while ago. And he said, "We need a cosigner." And so somebody cosigned for me. And that made me all right with the bank. Not because of me, but because of my cosigner. And I'm all right with God, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. My cosigner, if you will. And we have peace with God. But not only do we have peace with God, but we can have the peace of God. The Bible says that we can have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And I struggled and I thought and I wondered, what is this peace of God. How do you describe the peace of God? Well, it passes all understanding. You can't describe it. You can't describe the peace of God. I mean, I don't know how to tell you what it is, but I can tell you that you know it when you got it. And when you have peace, you know it. And you don't necessarily have peace all the time. You know, sometimes you go like this, peace, no peace, or peace, no peace, however you want to look at it. But the Bible says in John 14, 27, Jesus is talking, and he says, "My peace I give unto you." And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. And he says, don't be afraid. And so I guess the peace of God would be not the absence of trouble or the absence of storms, but the presence of God in that storm and standing, withstanding that storm, standing fast, standing through that trouble with grace and with peace, the peace of God. Like I said, it's hard to explain, but when you have it, you know it. And this won't be a long sermon. Don't believe me. Miss Marie's not here to time me. Uh-oh. It's raining outside. I'll keep you till the rain stops. Or before. All right, number one, we talk about the peace of God. How do you get it? The Bible says in verse 6 of Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. If you don't pray, then you probably don't have the peace of God. If you're living your life without talking to God, without keeping those lines of communication open, without making your request made known unto God, then you probably don't have the peace of God. You're probably on pins and needles, worried about what's going to happen. You're probably worried and wondering, what's going to happen with the election? What's going to happen with gas? What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? What's going to happen with my family? What's going on? You're probably worried about that, but when you lay it, you cast all your cares on Jesus, then you can have peace. You can have the peace of God. And too many of the times don't pray about it. I told a preacher not too long ago, I asked him a question. I said, do you find yourself thinking about things and then saying, well, I prayed about it? You know, I may have a need in my life, or a family may have a need, and I think, boy, I sure could use that. I sure could use some whatever. And I thought about it, but did I really pray about it? Or did I just think, boy, it would be nice to have it? Well, then you don't have peace. But when you pray about it and you lay it at Jesus' feet, he gives you peace, and you can make it through that storm. You can make it through that trial or whatever it is that's going on in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 46, verse 1, that God is a very present help in trouble. We have someone we can turn to when we go through trouble, and he gives us peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. And so we need to pray. And I met a man last night. I was making some deliveries, and I deliver prescription drugs. It's not the man I told you about, Brother Virgil, but I deliver prescriptions to people on Tuesday nights. And I went down to Ybor City, and I knocked on a man's door, and I've been there before. And an older black man answered the door, and I said, hello, sir, and I called his name, and he said, I've been praying for you. I said, thank you. He said, I didn't know it was going to be you, but I've been praying for you. I said, well, I need it. He said, no, I was praying for you to get here. he was sick, and he needed his medicine, but he was praying for me, and I got there. And he said, I got on my knees, and I prayed for you. And I said, that's good. And he had peace that I was going to get there. And I did. And he prayed for me. I said, I need all the prayer I can get. And he said, I said, God bless you, and left. And he was happy to see me. You know, that this is off the subject, but God cares about every little thing in our life, you know. And now that to him, it wasn't trivial to him. I mean, that was very important that he got his medicine. I don't know what the medicine was that he had, and I probably couldn't pronounce it if I knew the way they make all these names up. But he needed it, and he prayed and begged God that I would get there so he wouldn't be sick anymore, so he wouldn't feel so bad anymore. And it wasn't trivial to him, but God is in every little thing, even the little trivial things that we think of. God's in it. I had to go to Miami for work last week, and I got about, to Sarasota, and it was midnight, and I was coming home with Sammy asleep in the back seat, and we had seen alligators in Alligator Alley down just south of Naples, and he wanted to pull over on the side of the road and see him in the middle of the night. And I said, no, no, we're not going to do that, boy. I wanted to see bobcats. No, I don't want to see any of them either, boy. We just wanted to see it. He said, let's turn the lights on. I said, we'll crash. He said, when are we going to crash? I said, we're not going to crash. We're not going to turn the lights on the inside of the van, not the outside. We had those on. But it was midnight. Where are we going then? I don't know. We were driving through. He said he had to go potty about 30 seconds before we got to the last rest area before Alligator Alley. I said, it's a good thing because he would have had to hold it because I was not pulling over. The alligators all along the side of the road. And it was midnight, and I'm in Sarasota still trying to make my way home. And I was, you know, my son had worn me out. I guess I wore him out driving him all the way down to Miami. And I started to doze off while I was driving home. And I prayed, said, God, get me home. And I don't remember the last 45 minutes because they went by like that, and I was home with my son. God answered my prayer. I had peace. It's because I was asleep on my way home. We pray and we get that peace of God. God cares about the little trivial things. Number two, that peace comes from prayer, but number two, that peace passes all understanding. You can't explain it. And that same black preacher that said that peace with God means that me and God are all right, he said, people look at you when you have that peace of God and they think you're nutty. And I'm not preaching his sermon, by the way. I'm just quoting him a lot. But he said, people look at you and think you're nutty. You go through something and they think, how did you get through that? And we mentioned David Childers a little bit ago. And that when that quartet was in that wreck, Beth and I were at Dollywood with how many of our kids? Those two, the two older girls. We were at Dollywood with my job on a you know, just a fun day, and we ran into somebody from our church, and they said, what did you hear? And so at Dollywood, I found out that all of them had died in that van wreck, and I knew all five of them. And I'd been to one of them's house, David Childers, been to his house, met his mom and dad. His two brothers were in my dorm when I was in college, and they're from West Virginia, just like Beth is, and so, you know, on the way up to see Beth's family, we'd stop in and see them. And just got to be where we were friends. In fact, when we introduced Gracie to David's mom, I said, pray for her, she looks like me. And she said, don't worry, it's pretty on her. And we just had that kind of a relationship. And then David died in that wreck. And I went to shake David's father's hand and try to encourage him. And I was all tore up. Because David was my friend. And his brothers were my friends. And his dad was my friend. And I went over to his dad, and I shook his hand. And he could tell that I was struggling with how to encourage him. And he looked me in the eye a week after his son died, his 19, 20, 21-year-old son, maybe. I think he was 19. A week after he died, his dad looked at me as he shook my hand, and he said, Brother Chris, the Bible's true, and David's in heaven, and I'll see him again. Amen. And I thought, how can you say that a week after your son died, your 19-year-old son died, while he was serving the Lord? And it's because he had the peace of God. It passed all understanding. You look through the Bible and you see that. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see some examples. David in the valley of Elah about to duke it out with Goliath. And he goes out. And he picks up five smooth stones. And in verse 43 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says, And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Now, if that had been me, I don't think I'd have had peace with God or peace of God. I'd be glad I had the peace with God because I think I was about to see him. And I would have been nervous, scared, you know, I'd have been hiding like the other ones. But verse 45 says, Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then he threw the rock right in his forehead and killed him. David had the peace of God in that situation. And if you had been in the Valley of Elah and you saw the big giant Goliath and little David with his sling, you'd have said, how is he standing up under all that pressure? It's unbelievable. I can't understand it. Well, he had the peace of God that passed all understanding. When we go through a struggle, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And then the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar said that you have to bow. When you hear the music play, you bow and you worship the golden image that they had made of Nebuchadnezzar. And the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're not going to do that. And the song says they wouldn't bend, they didn't bow, they didn't burn. And that's true, they didn't. And the Bible says in verse 13 of Daniel chapter 3, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not. Now they said, but if not. They said, if it be so. And then they said, but if not. That didn't mean that they doubted God. That meant that whether God was going to deliver them out of the furnace or not, let them burn up, they weren't going to bow. And they didn't bow, and they didn't bend, and they didn't burn. The Bible goes on to say, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then those men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then the Bible goes on to say, in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They didn't burn. They stood. God protected them. And we'll get into it some more that God did for them. Not yet. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But in verse 27, the Bible says, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You can't even go to a gas station without the smell of smoke getting on your clothes. But these guys were in the furnace, and they didn't smell like smoke. They weren't singed, they weren't burned, nothing. God was with them. And they just walked around. I heard a preacher talk about how they were probably sitting there, it's kind of cold in here, and you got a coat, you know. And maybe they were like that. But I guarantee if I had been there and I had been looking inside that furnace while they were there, I know I would have seen more than just three men, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I would have said, how are they walking around in there not having any trouble? How can they look at King Nebuchadnezzar and say, if it be so, and but if not, no matter what you say, king, we're not going to bow. How can they do that? They had the peace of God that passed all understanding. And then Stephen, I'm going to skip over some things. I was going to go into Daniel in the lion's den, but basically he was in the lion's den, and he lived through the night, and God shut the mouths of the lions, and he could do that because he had the peace of God that passed all understanding. And then in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned. He stood up for the Lord. And in verse 54 of Acts chapter 7, the Bible says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." He had the peace of God. If we had been standing there on the outside of that mob and seen that happen and heard Stephen say, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," we would have said, "How can he say that? How can he live through that? How can he just die like that?" He had the peace of God, past all understanding. And I wanted to talk about Stephen because David won against Goliath. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they lived through their fiery furnace, but Stephen didn't. Stephen didn't. When that trial comes, God may deliver you, or he may not. But either way, he'll give you the peace of God that passes all understanding. And then, talked about Saul there, we can talk about Paul and Silas at midnight singing songs to the Lord. At midnight singing. And the earthquake came, and they all could have got out. The jailer was about to kill himself, and Paul said, "We're all here." And he led him to the Lord and his whole house. They had the peace of God. It passed all understanding. They got through those trials because of that peace of God. We're talking about the peace that passes all understanding. Prayer. We get it by prayer, and that peace passes all understanding. And then that peace protects us. Back in our text, in Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It'll keep our hearts and minds. It'll protect us. It'll guard our hearts and minds. When we start thinking about the wrong things, it gives us a list, by the way, in verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest," and all the way down the line, "of good report, think on these things." It gives us a list of things we're to think about. And if we think about those things, the peace of God is going to protect our hearts and minds. It's going to guard our hearts, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We get to thinking about all the bad stuff. I know people that don't watch the news anymore, don't buy a newspaper anymore because they don't want to see what's going on in the world. They don't want to dwell on the bad stuff. Now, sure, we're going to have to think about some bad stuff every now and then. We're just going to have to because it's going to be right in front of our faces. But we don't have to meditate on it. We don't have to dwell on it. We can dwell on the things that are pure and honest and true and of good report and all of those things. And the peace of God will keep our heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And I need the peace of God to protect me, to keep my heart. I need to have that peace, and I won't get so worried. I won't get so upset and so concerned about things. And you know, I have to fill up my van four times a week. And it gets expensive. And it's $85 or so to fill up the tank. Close your ears, Beth. It's $85 now to fill up the tank. And, you know, every time, I've talked about this before, every time I fill it up, my lip quivers a little bit, you know. I get nervous, and I just need to pray, give it to God, and let Him give me the peace of God that passes all understanding. And He'll protect my heart and my mind, and He won't let me worry about it. He won't let me think about it. He'll protect me. Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart." And then after that it says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly." And those are the only two times the Bible says "let." It's in those two verses, 15 and 16. Everything else there, he's talking about doing things, actions, and active verbs. But these are passive. And we need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Sometimes we don't let it happen. We start thinking about all the other stuff. We start thinking about all the bad stuff. We start thinking about everything we've talked about. We start thinking about all our trials, all our troubles, all our tribulations, all the storms that we're going through, and we dwell on that, and it weighs on us and weighs on us, and it doesn't rule in our heart. We don't yield it to God and lay it at His feet. But if we do that, we'll have the peace of God.
And people will see that, and they'll say, how can they live through that? And we can say, I have the peace of God. You can have it too, but you got to get peace with God first. Hey, and then you can give them the gospel, and they'll get saved. And then they'll have peace with God, and then they can have the peace of God. And that's a great little cycle that we can get into. And the peace of God will protect us. We have to let it. We have to yield to it. We spend all our time thinking about the bad stuff. Now, I'm not talking about these things that some people like to talk about, think and grow rich and name it and claim it. Some people call it blab it and grab it. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm not talking about if we think positive thoughts, then we're going to be able to attain everything that we think and all that humanism stuff. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm just talking about thinking on the things of Philippians 4:8, the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things. I'm talking about setting our affections on things above. I'm talking about seeking those things which are above. And if we're seeking those things, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, then all these things that are going on down here aren't going to bother us because we're going to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Finally, in conclusion, you want that peace? I do. I do. Friday night, I was driving down to Fort Myers. I go there every Friday night. And I wanted to hear from the Lord. Usually, I listen to the radio. I listen to Moody some. And I don't agree with everything they say. But I still listen to it because it's better than the other stuff. But every Friday night, there's a Tampa Bay Rays baseball game on. I listen to that as much as I can now that they're winning. And I'm a bandwagoner. It's all right. Now they're winning. But Friday night, I decided I was going to be quiet. You don't believe me, I know. Because I can't be quiet even when I'm by myself. I have to talk to somebody. And I don't talk back. I just agree with everything I say all down the road. When I'm in the car by myself, nobody complains about the way I drive. I knew that's what Beth was thinking. But I was driving down to Fort Myers, and I said, God, I just want to hear from you. And so I stopped, I turned the radio off, and I prayed, and I didn't hear anything. I mean, I wasn't waiting for God to say, Chris, you know. I wasn't waiting for an audible voice, just some kind of leading. I told the men this the other day, and I didn't hear anything. And I said, God, I want to hear from you. And about that time, I crossed over the Peace River. I said, all right, I got it. I need peace. Thank you. And he was right. I want that peace. I want the peace of God. I need it. We all need it. We all go through struggles. We all go through trials. And we'll get through it with the peace of God. But we're only going to get it if we have the presence of God. The Bible says in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. How do you have the peace of God? The God of peace shall be with you. Oh yeah, you pray to that God of peace, but he'll be with you, and he'll get you through it. David experienced that back in 1 Samuel 17:37. 17:37, David said, moreover, he's talking to Saul, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And the Lord was. And David had the peace of God when he was in the valley of Elah, throwing that one stone at Goliath. The three Hebrew children, I told you we'd get to this. When Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he didn't just see three men, he saw four men. He said, wait a minute, didn't we throw three men in there? How come I see four men? And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Looks like Jesus walking around in there with them. Those three men that were in that fire, they had God with them. They were experiencing the peace of God was with them, the presence of the peace of God. And they had the peace of God, the God of peace. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. The God of peace was with them, and they had the peace of God. And then Daniel, God shut the mouths of the lions. He had to be there. Stephen, he had to be in there with Daniel to shut the mouths of the lions. And he was with Daniel. And Daniel had the peace of God. Stephen beheld the Son of God. And Paul and Silas sang praises to God. They said, well, that doesn't mean God was with them, but God inhabits the praises of his people. And so God was with Paul and Silas in the jail. And they all had the peace of God. If we want the peace of God, then we need to live in the conscious presence of the God of peace. If we live daily in the conscious presence of Jesus Christ, we'll have the peace of God. If we have that fellowship with Him, we'll have the peace of God. One final illustration, and I'm done. The story is told about a young lady who was dying, and one scripture which she heard while she was healthy came to her while she was dying, and that's Isaiah 53, verse 5. And that verse says, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And she was led by the Holy Spirit to rest in Him of whom it spoke for salvation. In other words, she got saved. A friend said to her one day, You suffer much, I fear. Yes, she said, but pointing to her hand, There's no nail there. He had the nails, I have the peace. Laying her hand on her brow, she said, There are no thorns here. He had the thorns, I have the peace. Touching her side, she said, There's no spear here. He had the spear, I have the peace. And we have the peace too, because Jesus took our sin for us. And we get peace with God, and along with that, when we experience the presence of the God of peace, we have that presence with us, we'll have the peace of God, and we can get through whatever trial comes our way. Anything that life sends our way, anything the devil sends our way, we'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this night. Lord, thank You for all You've done. Thank You for the peace that we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that while the storms are howling about us, I pray that You'll give us that peace. And Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight that doesn't have peace with God, God, I pray that they'll get that settled tonight and they'll trust You as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here going through a trial and they need Your peace, Lord, I pray that they'll get that tonight. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, will you stand with me? My invitation is simple. Do you have peace with God? Have you trusted Christ?